You know, it's not uncommon today to hear people say, let's just preach Jesus and let's not preach anything else. And in response to those who preach Jesus on baptism, this is what's often said. And it's why many modern preachers rarely mention Jesus in their preaching. But what does it mean to preach Jesus? When we preach Jesus, should it include baptism? And if so, what else should be included? You know, the book of Acts is an excellent book to study about what was preached. It is the New Testament's history book that we have. In Acts chapter 8, we read of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. He was on his way home from Jerusalem, where he had been to worship, and he was met by Philip the evangelist. In Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, we read that an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." As Philip approached the chariot, the eunuch invited Philip to sit with him and to study, and to begin to explain to him what he was reading from the book of Isaiah. So we pick up in verse 30 now. And it says that Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The eunuch replied in verse 31, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he said to Philip, or he asked Philip, or rather, to come up and sit with him. Verse 32 says, "The place in the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So in verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" So the passage tells us that Philip began at this passage where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, which was Isaiah 53, verses 7 through 8. And in verse 35, it says that Philip began there to teach him about Jesus. He was preaching Jesus to him. But now as we go through this lesson, we're going to notice what that all involves. We can learn what it means to preach Jesus from what is written regarding the conversion of this Ethiopian eunuch. The first thing we want to consider is the example of the quote from Isaiah. He tells us here that Jesus died for our sins. The passage from Isaiah reveals the reason for the Messiah's suffering. In Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6, Isaiah records for us, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In Isaiah 53, verses 10 and 11, we continue there a few verses later, and it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities or their sins. So another thing that we learn here is that the death of Christ was for our sins, and that was a fundamental teaching of the gospel of Christ. That's the gospel that Paul preached in 1 Corinthians 15. Beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." So we see here that even with the Apostle Paul preaching, Jesus also proclaims his death and the fact that he died for our sins. But also from Isaiah, we see that Jesus was exalted. Isaiah's prophecy begins and ends with the exaltation of the Messiah or the Christ. Isaiah 52 verse 13 and Isaiah 53 and verse 12. The theme of Jesus' exaltation fills the preaching of Peter. We see that in Acts 2 and verse 36. In Acts chapter 5, verses 30 and 31, Peter again here says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." So we see here that preaching Jesus also pronounces that he has been exalted by God. But from Isaiah's quotation, we learn that preaching Jesus includes preaching how Jesus died for our sins. And it also includes that he was exalted to the right hand of God. But let's also consider what else we learn about the preaching of about Jesus from Isaiah. We notice that Philip preached to the eunuch there about Jesus. But the eunuch had an important question based upon what Philip preached to him. We notice the first question that was asked by the eunuch in Acts chapter 8 and verse 36. After hearing Philip preach about Jesus, the eunuch stops him and says, "See, here is water. What hinders or prevents me from being baptized?" So we see that preaching Jesus clearly includes preaching about baptism. So baptism was important to Jesus and his apostles. It was so important that Jesus commanded it in giving of the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Also Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. He says there, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." We see that the apostles fulfilled this command, this commission, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We see it with the baptism of Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10. So the apostles were commanded to teach this and to teach baptism, to preach baptism along with preaching Christ. But also the apostles wrote about the value of baptism in their epistles. Paul would write about baptism in Romans chapter 6. And Peter would write about it in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. So preaching Jesus automatically includes preaching about baptism. But there's something important about baptism in the fact that it's needed to be done immediately. The Ethiopian was anxious to obey. Philip was willing to accommodate him, according to Acts 8 and verse 38. But why the urgency? Why not wait until the eunuch got on down the road to a town or to a church or all the way back home to Ethiopia? Others were baptized immediately, even after midnight in Acts 16. And the reason for such urgency, I think, is clearly taught in other passages of the Bible. One reason is that baptism is for the remission of sins. Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 22 and verse 16 with Saul and his conversion. Why would we not want this remission of our sins to be immediate? Why would we want to wait? We experience the working of God and put on Christ in baptism, Colossians 2, verses 12 and 13, Galatians 3, and verse 27. So preaching Jesus calls upon people to be baptized quickly. And finally, from the Ethiopian eunuch's question, the importance and immediacy of baptism is clearly taught in other places as well. But let's notice carefully what we learn from the preaching of Jesus in Philip's qualification. The eunuch understood that there was some urgency, but Philip pointed out that there was something that was needed, the necessity of faith. In Philip's response to the eunuch's question about who should be baptized in verse 37 of our text, Philip's response was, "If you believe, you may." So we see here that faith is a necessary prerequisite to baptism. Now that would not include baptizing babies. So we see here, as Jesus pointed out in John 8 and verse 24, that faith really is necessary in order to have salvation. Even though faith is through faith that we can have life in His name, according to John 20, verses 30 and 31. But we see here that baptism is a working of God when faith in our lives is present. And that's what Paul taught in Colossians 2 and verse 12. So we see here that preaching Jesus also demands faith in Jesus before we can be baptized. So we also see another qualification, the necessity of being wholehearted. Philip required a wholehearted faith from the eunuch. We see that in verse 37. Philip responded to him and it says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." So I understand here that baptism without this kind of faith just simply gets us wet. The sort of hearty sincerity that God always requires is seen throughout the pages of God's law. Matthew 22 in verse 37, Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. So Jesus, when we preach Him, it requires more than just a mental acknowledgement before being baptized. So as we close out this lesson, we see that preaching Jesus certainly involves more. It includes preaching repentance, even though it's not always mentioned, especially in our text. But preaching the resurrection of Christ, although it's not mentioned. And yet from the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, we see that preaching Jesus must have included preaching about the suffering and exaltation of Christ. Preaching the necessity and the fact that immediate baptism was necessary for a sincere believer. I believe today, many don't preach Jesus like Philip did and like the apostles did. They ignore baptism altogether and say that it's really not necessary. And they call upon people to say a sinner's prayer when the apostles' preaching called for people to be baptized. Have you truly been baptized into Jesus? Read passages like Acts 2. Read passages like Acts 22. With the conversion of those on the day of Pentecost and the conversion of Saul. It may be that you disagree with this lesson. It may be that you have questions about this lesson. I would encourage you to look me up on Facebook, leave me a message, or you can look me up on the Eastside Church of Christ Facebook page, or you can look us up at churchateastside.com. That's our website. And if you want to hear this lesson again, it will be on there Sunday morning. Feel free to visit with us at the Eastside Congregation. We'll meet at 9 this morning for Bible study, 10 for worship. Again, this evening at 6. And we'll have a midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. Thank you again.